again this evening. The first issue, gather in Dallas House with Jeff Siegel. My wife says, hold her phone. I enjoy worshiping with God's family and very sweet. But I look forward to worshiping together with God. It was not the same for me. I myself. I think that's the good hospitality, fellowship, that beautiful book that you gave us, the treasure that is. Shows the park and monsters. Invited to come visit us in Virginia. Gravel Room is a place to visit my class here today. And at Airbnb, we have a room that we have to back to you or the name that I can pay your debt. That's the way my foot. I guess I feel. I came knowing very few people, and I feel like it's my home with lots of good connections. That may have revealed my age a little bit, but as I reflect back on this period, back in my Bible for maybe 41 years ago, and coming back and finding that there's still something that was here, that's knowing. And coming back and still finding that faithful people here, that just was a screaming message. Just helps me to just keep on keeping on. The good fight of faith. We're not home yet, children, but we're closer home than we've ever been before. That's what's exciting about every day that God lives. We're closer home than I was when I came. Let's turn the Bible to Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 this evening. I think there's a little bit of repetition here this evening again, but it's from God's Word, the title of the message this evening, is serving the unchanging God in changing times. We all know that time has brought a lot of changes, and it's going to continue. But I am so thankful, in the midst of all those changes, that we have God's Word. It is forever settled in heaven. It will not change. It is never outdated. It has worked for my grandfathers, worked for my father, and it will work for my grandchildren. And likewise to you. It's the book that we want to measure from. Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Tonight, if I would take a survey here of how many of you like change, I think I can give you a pretty good guess about where that line would go. There's a certain age bracket that we don't enjoy change as good anymore. And we like to think that's a sign of maturity. I'm not sure it is. I think it's a sign of fearfulness. I don't know. Because change is inevitable. Change is part of our journey of life. Sometimes we get this concept in life that if you refuse change, you're scriptural. And if you change, you're apostasy. That's not the way it is. It comes back down, brothers and sisters, tonight. If you haven't gathered, I must speak very clearly tonight, but the heart that is deceitful is desperately wicked. And change, a heart that is seeking to change, a heart that is trying to see how they can manipulate the God's word and the principles he's established, is going to find himself apart from God in the end of time, I'm afraid. But the heart that seeks the Lord, the unchanging God, and the principles have been established, he's going to find himself full of glory. It's a choice that you're making. Change came in the beginning. Genesis 1:1, because in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. He brought it into the beginning. And one of these days he's going to say, time is over. And can you fathom tonight, brothers and sisters? You know, you have all your woods around here. You have all this land around here. You have all these natural resources around here. The Bible says it's going to melt in person. I can't find that in that bad in that. But I believe it's the it changed. The earth changed from that. That garden that was so beautiful. Man changed. Those sisters tonight, many people have that dedication. There's still people. If I would ask you tonight, have you eaten the forbidden fruit? Do you have interest in eating the forbidden apple? My multitude would say no. But if you have no interest in eating the forbidden apple, then why are you spending this time on the shade of the forbidden apple? If Adam would have never went to that tree, if he would have never went to that tree, he should have never went. The unchanging God. We know that Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. They're kind of like belly of all mankind. We have another change coming, that great flood that came along. You know, what do you think the people thought? Out on dry ground, they start building another boat. I think we didn't even know what a boat was at that time. Noah and me were going without it. It's something they want to do.
What are you doing, Noah? What do you think you're doing, Noah? Why are you getting all this wood together? What's the idea, anyways? It says, Noah, the scripture writer. In my mind, I see Noah getting up. I say, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, it's time to get to the Lord's work. We're going to build the ark today. This ark is going according to Ripa. When this great flood is coming, that's going to destroy the earth. It's going to take care of all animal life, all life on the earth. He did that for 140 years. Your picture will see tonight, there are a lot of people coming back to those days and talk. Here's no reason. Don't go on every detail of that article, but all people talk about it. What is really important that more is the answer? Why would the one side do that? What are you reluctant to work back? Where am I with my walk to the Lord? Is my heart desperate? You know, there came a day God sent his manifestation. His neighbors are all around there and they see this big, huge boat. They're shaking their heads. Oh, what's wrong? All of a sudden, here comes some sheep. The animals kept coming in two by two. That's the mercy of God. Surely they should have stopped and talked to the supernatural next. Because what was, they all walked in peacefully. The lion wasn't consuming the lamb. They were walking in peacefully. Noah and his family were in that. People were there. What does Noah think he do? What does he want in that food? What does he want to be in that boat with all those animals? And they're watching this thing, and what's going to happen with this boat? Noah. Are you sure you want to be in there?
All of a sudden, this door starts closing.
And when that door is closed, the fountains of the deep opened up and it started to rain, and we know the rest of the story. And all of a sudden, those people that were scoffing, those people that were going down their own trail and thinking of themselves as pretty good people, all of a sudden found themselves out there. Hey, Noah, would you open the door? Noah had not shut the door. God had shut the door. They ran from the highest mountain. The water reached there. But an interesting thing, I think of for a year ago, I was thinking about all this hard racing. When it talks about the fountains of the people, those earthly minded people, that they were banking on the city, and they all perished. Brothers and sisters, this evening, I want no one here to perish in the eternal torment
that God will prepare for those who are not prepared.
But we are living in the side today. We're living in the world today and lots of changes. The view of God. We're coming in an era of time, or we are in an era of time that has brought this holiness of God down to more of a man level. And that is what has done is taken away our fear of God. God has got a lot of compassion. He'll understand. Our worship practices have changed. Our communication methods have changed. You look over one here, I think I'm safe in saying that our grandparents would have thought of using a cell phone at 5:30 in the to you young people in that, you think, well, what's that? It's a change. Is it right? Is it wrong? That's all I'm talking about. I think those are the changes here. So this change comes down. The conveniences that we have today, you know, we're not that old. But my mother had a dishwasher. She had 5 of them, and she plugged them in. But that was the one cat. She had 5 children. My mom, when she was old, she came to visit us about 100 years back. And my wife, we have a dishwasher plugged into the wall. And my wife tried putting the dishes in there, and my mother was back to the washing machine. So today, we just think that. So many changes. Transportation. The methods that we can travel today, they're electric. The music that's available today, the availability of reading material. You know, when I was a youth and growing up years, if you want reading material, it was a library book, or it was a paper or a magazine, whatever it is, that was a reading material. Today, it's higher than a book. You can have reading material. But this says here, brothers and sisters, those things that can bring us to the mixture of truth and cultural things that are coming across. Some of these blogs and things, podcasts that people listen to better than you. Thank you, Trevor. I've never tried it, but it's coming. You can put a frog in a pan. Turn the heat on the pan and put the frog in, so jump out. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a day today when there is so much information that is supposedly sound doctrine, that supposedly is coming from smooth speech, and so has some Bible mixed into it, but it is so full of other things. It's very appealing to the ear. It makes you feel good. But the nutritional value, I'm afraid, is gone. And that is why, if you invite me to your house for a real good meal, and on my way to your house, I will stop at McDonald's and get a hamburger that won't decay in the sun, and I get to your place and I'm saying, I'm really not hungry. Is it the cook's fault, or is it my fault? It's because of the junk food, may I say it kindly tonight, that is taking away the appetite of people that they should have when they come to the house of God. Those are things that we're facing today. With that smooth teaching that's flowing in there, the erroneous view, my father, in his 1,000 years, had a friend, and they had the radio. And his father's friend did. He asked his friend, he said, why don't you write this good preacher that preaches that you like to listen to? Ask him if he believes in love, love, and this, and this, and this.
that matter? Was that safe to listen to? That's not our problem today, I know. It's what comes right into our country. Let's be careful. That mixture of truth, they can come into our reading material. Yeah, in our home growing up, there were certain magazines that my parents saw how to have because of the danger they were. Today, that's not the magazines I read as well. But it's that potential that Carl has. Some of the challenges that we're changing is the view of life as a whole. The view of sin today, you know, we can call just about call anything but sin. But remember, the Bible doesn't change. Our general lifestyle today has changed. We have a lot more opportunities than we used to. We have a lot more ease of financial gain than what we used to have. The casual mentality. Whatever. This don't matter, that don't matter. Our work ethics. Our view and use of finances. Our view of recreational time. The list to go on. That's just random thoughts. So we say, well, there's safety in not changing. Really? Well, that's the key. I guess I would suggest playing them off. Because after all, that's a safer. Probably because you wouldn't go high speed. Well, that's not the point, though. But sometimes, have you ever thought about the electric line? This was just the only way that they would run this trip. Everybody would live along that highway. But it's not the way it is. But with careful planning, they reroute and then run electricity to homes off the grid and into various homes. That's what we are today. As a church of people's status, we have a potential to offer to us. A lost and dying world, a bad group of people. So tonight, there's two sides of the ditch. There's 2 miles of ditch for every mile on the road. Four miles of ditch for every ditch. As long as you get off the highway. That has been for many years. But we serve an unchanging God who has established the highway of holiness. And he hasn't left us to mankind. So how we want to, measures we want to take to protect that highway of belief. Change is inevitable. But what is the real reason you want to change? What is the real reason that you don't want to change? The answer to both of those questions would be a large issue. Does resistance to change show maturity or spirituality? It can just show playing out what the Bible calls self-rule. But the other bottom side of this is that we talk about everything in the doctrine. We need to balance it out a little bit. Can the love of change reveal how I live my life? You know, I find years ago, did they change something? They probably changed language, but they still serve in a job that changed something. Do your surroundings. Young people, I didn't mention it often last Friday evening, but it's for all of us, but young people especially. Let me put this for everyone. Parents, what you have in your home helps your children develop that type. And young people, what you listen to and your friends help you develop an appetite. What appetite are you developing? Is it a healthy appetite? Is it one that will help you maintain your walk with God? Or is it one of having a lot of good times? Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Christ yesterday, today, and forever. I find that statement very curious. So I think the time is too long. meeting that judge that we read in the Revelation chapter 9. That one with those piercing eyes. That one with the authority of voice. I know I'm going to be judged by you. Not by the other person. Question I'd like to ask everyone here. Is your name written there on that same page? Is your name? Is my name? We're not home business. Brothers and sisters, we're not home business. Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, verse 15 through 17. This is what the Bible says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's clearly stating, love not the world. If we don't love the world, then why does the world have so much influence on us? All sins are mentioned in the next verse. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Basically, all sins spill out from those three categories. And they influence us in different ways. Where are you tonight? Tonight is moral integrity. If you are not living a victorious Christian life with moral integrity, well, then I want you to listen carefully as I understand the scriptures. I don't think you're ready to die. Because that's what the Bible says. But so many times, we think somehow. Parents, sometimes you think we could dabble with the worldly thing. It's like one man said one time, he said, I'm going to go to church, I'm not going to have a problem with rules. And he did. But you know what happened? You can imagine what happened. Today, he can speak very lots of Bible verses and all those things. But you wouldn't know outside their speech that they call themselves Christians. And his children are out in the world. Love not the world. What you love is what's going to motivate you. What you love is what's going to draw you. Do you love your fleshly appetites more than you love God? And you would say, oh no, I don't. Then may I ask you a question? Why is your personal agenda so dear to you if you don't love yourself? Because I find for myself, when I struggle in life, it's usually a battle of my will and God's will. And if I take care of my will, things work. Because God's way is the right way. It's the only way. It's so clear here. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And may I say, I believe that is why we have so many things happening that are happening today. I don't want to leave a negative connotation with this, some of those thoughts. But I believe Satan is doing a real good job making a lot of counterfeits and getting the enemy with circles to check out those counterfeits. But if you're going to eat Rice Krispies, don't expect to go and be cut off now all day. If you're going to not feed on the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, you're not going to be able to live the victorious Christian life. It's not possible. Maybe you can say the right thing. Maybe you can do and act the right thing. But what is in your heart?
That's when I come to the judgment bar of God. He's going to look beyond my garb. He's going to look beyond my speech. He's going to look beyond my attitude. And he's going to see in the heart. And imagine that day when we come before the judge of all time. And he says, why did you never confess that sin? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Be the most horrible words a man will ever hear. It's the final word for a destruction to hell. And yet I'm afraid there's so many people today that are trying to fly themselves the middle road and coming to the end of life very, very sad. Because those horrible things will perish. God's remedy for the sin problem cannot be changed. Turn to Bible scripture. Romans chapter 12. Not a lot of us could say these verses by memory. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, that by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brethren and sisters, tonight, do you have a renewed mind? Or are you still looking at the leaks in the garden by dirty feet? If you are, you're headed in the wrong direction. A living sacrifice. I think of that. You know, our forefathers died for their faith. Are you willing to live for your faith? I find living for my faith sometimes a hard task. I don't know what it would be like to die. But living for it. Being willing to be identified. Be not conformed but transformed. A different thinking pattern. Well, there are many inventions the world has made. We free to use that. But there are changes in doing And here I go back again to let's just be very basic. Let's be straightforward here. The world attire programs are made to reveal the body and to draw attention. The Christian clothing is to bring forth model, the bride. Is there a difference? It's a major difference. The world's entertainment method. They have a lot to offer and not much to give. When you start going down that road, where are you going to stop? The world's business method. Yay, your navy name. And how sad it is when that starts coming into our own circle, because we want all we can get. So that's what's going to perish. We want all we can get. We're going to get all here. Fathers and mothers, what matters is what's here in front of you today. They're listening, they're learning. Our view of finances and how we handle them. Those things have changed majorly. The world makes its choices for personal gratification and what's best for them, the me and that. Parents, tonight, may I plead with you, the choices that you're making are going to bear results. And I want you to be a happy grandpa and grandma, not sitting there weeping. Wake up, parents. Be alert. The choices you are making are going to have results. You may find them out of your control. Maybe you can talk your way through right now. Maybe you can kind of get your way through right now. But at the end of life, transform.
formed by, instead of thinking, what do I want? We say, what does God want to do? When we think of Wake Up Revival meeting, as I think of preaching the gospel for a whole week, I think I keep looking in that mirror of God's truth. And you know, mirrors don't lie. You know that? Mirrors do not lie. Sometimes they give harsh facts. But you look in the mirror of God's Word and He says, there's dirt in your face. Clean it. There's dirt in your heart. Clean it. I'm providing the soap. I'm providing the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. The provisions are all made. You don't have to do that. It's a choice that you make to continue walking that way. Christians, we need to, brothers and sisters, we need to make choices. And how will that influence our families? Listen to Galatians chapter 5. We can get so easily sidetracked of thinking of here and now and making a living and making a financial decision that we neglect to stop and ponder what our spiritual decisions are going to cost us. Galatians 5 verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here he's saying, don't dabble around. Don't be wandering around. Don't be trying to figure out what God wants you to do. Most of the people that find themselves in that position in life, the reason they find themselves there is because they're not willing to surrender everything to God. They're dabbling around. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. God, what He asks you to do, always lines up with the Word of God. Not just in speech, but in conduct. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things that you God. As the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband, and let the Lord the husband head of life, even as Christ the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is set to Christ, so let the wife be your own husband and everything. It uses the home here, and it brings in this, of walking in the Spirit. Not sitting, walking. Tomorrow morning, when you go to work, well, men know that you've been with Jesus. Brethren, by our speech and our conduct, the way we handle ourselves in our local business places, the way we relate to the opposite gender, are we men of integrity? But verse 17 is still the last day. There's a battle. There's a life. Your decision is going to have to take. As we crucify our flesh. I'm sorry, I wrote the book on something that I will. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? As I understand the scriptures, if I find someone that's fulfilling the lust of the flesh, as I understand that scripture right there, it's saying he's not walking in the Spirit. That's straightforward. That's from God's Word. That's what we're going to be judged by. That's what we're going to be measured by. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, lewdness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, pride, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty straightforward language. So let's look at the positive side. The net person is so beautiful. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ the affection of love. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the last one there is a challenging thought. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. That's something that we're facing today. I'm maybe trying to get a following for my success that coordinates in the Bible here. But as I understand here, it says, let's not do that. Let's have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. When I think of the fruit of the Spirit, I think that my picture is a restful picture, a relaxed life, a joyful life, a peaceful life. Hebrews 10:23-25. I'm going to turn to read to them. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of conscience. It takes effort and wisdom to face the things we know have to offer. Let's face them, brothers and sisters. Face them. And identify a lion as a lion. And a sheep as a sheep. That's important. That's a proper identification. What are the foundational truths that we need to hear when facing change? The question I'd like for you to have back in your mind as we go through the rest of the message here. But in Luke 18, verse 8, is part of the verse there. It says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So that's another question as we go into the next part of the message here. So how do we go about making these changes that we're facing? We must have a proper relationship with God. Not just in speech, but in life, in conduct in life. So, may I come back to some of the examples I gave earlier. If you're wanting to listen to a podcast, or a blog, or one of those things, I guess the first thing I'd ask you, is it, what do you know about the individual? How's his relationship with Lord Jesus Christ? How's his relationship for her with the local church? That's a simplistic question. But I think it takes care of a lot of issues when we think of that aspect. Another point that we have with the thinking of change, the acceptance of the glory of God. If I refuse to change, how will this influence and affect my life? If I do make the change, how will this influence and affect my life? Think of those things. While you may think they're so small, they can be very big and long. So while you're sitting there weighing those things and ask yourself the question, what is the real heart issue that makes this decision difficult? And that's when I come to another interesting aspect that I've observed in life. And to me, it doesn't make sense in my mind, and yet it's an observation I've made. Simplistically saying, it's the business of God. But company doesn't solve misery. Just because I have a headache, so we're going to have a headache party. We're going to invite five people to hit me. Well, all I see is five people to hit me. We can help our problem. But when we get together as a brotherhood and work together and evaluate those changes facing us, maybe we can go back to those five headaches. I'll back this year, but we need what draws us together must be this, not just my ideas. There's many kinds of groups and things that start today and function because of a similar negative thinking pattern. But as I understand electricity, you can put all the negatives you want together and you don't get nothing done. You've got to have a little bit of power to get something done. But you need the negative for the ground to make something happen. There's a balancing action there. So what are the reasons that you enjoy change? What's the reason you want what you want? Evaluating small changes. How will this do the next one? It's going to help you make larger changes and decisions. Time helps us many times in making decisions. Now, procrastination, the best way to come over procrastination is get something in action. Now, we're all made up differently, and so, but procrastination when it comes to making changes is not necessarily healthy. I'm not talking about procrastination. I'm saying giving it time and meditating on it, praying about it, seeking God's word, asking counsel from a scriptural brotherhood. This decision, again, I come back, parents. I keep bringing it up, I know I do. But how is this going to influence your children? How is this going to influence your life? How is it going to influence my brothers and sisters? How is it going to influence my neighbor? Will I be able to witness to him if I make these changes? One thing I have found a tremendous blessing in life is bringing our ideas together to get us a success. And as the thing that changes coming along, the things that we do, I am just blessed. So we can put the various views together that we have if we have life. It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. God has put that in place for our faith. You know, we receive a simplistic illustration. But if I would lay a piece of paper in the middle of a pile here and put a six on it, or a nine, whatever you want to do, and I would ask the people in the back to look up and tell me what they see, people in front of the opposite one. Can you imagine this in your mind a little bit? If you have a six, it looks like this. But when it's laying down flat, in this way it's a six, and this way it's a nine. We can sit here all night and just try to figure out if a six or a nine. It doesn't change anything. But the other view can help you keep out. There's security there. Turn to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. As I think of making changes in life, I have come to the grips and experience in life that I need some time, I need to make changes for my spiritual well-being. But I also learned from those difficult times that God will give us wisdom. That challenge will put us in a relationship with God. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We're talking about this fear here, and not a fear that paralyzes, but a fear that motivates us to walk carefully. If you have no fear of ice, and you just walk lightly across it, you may have an experience that's not real joyful. But if you are a little concerned, if you fear the ice enough to walk carefully, but not so much that you're just going to stay inside, you probably will reach where you're going. But as you walk out there, you know, they say it's not safe. I don't know how much ice you get here, but if you say it's not a good idea to walk on ice with your hands in your pocket. What does it matter? It matters a lot. When you start sliding, you need to balance yourself. Those things can be a simple hindrance. What I'm trying to say is, it's not this fear that paralyzes. It's the fear that promotes careful walking. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found with him in peace, without spot and blame. When I think of coming to the end of life, it puts a tremendous burden. I want to be ready when my Lord calls. Is it 5 years from now or 5 minutes? I want to live his life. And when my time is up. And the best gift I believe we can give to those that are left behind is that they may know by our life that all is good. I think that's the best thing to do. Be diligent to make your call in the life of good. I believe God will honor those who seek him diligent. Job 14:14 says that a man dies and lives again. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. We're only here temporarily.
time is fleeting. One day's time will be no more. But don't become discouraged. Let's go to Revelation. I'm not going to read this, but sometimes I encourage you to read Revelation 1, verse 18. Speaking of coming before that great judge. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. This is God's word. This is a beautiful prophecy. This is something that I can offer you. This is something that you can rest on. It says in Revelation 3:21, to him, or her, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and been set down with my Father in his throne. I'm looking for the fellowship of the overcomers on the pearly streets of glory in the presence of Jesus. I don't know what the most thing you're, what you're looking for in heaven. Maybe you have a child or a loved one there. And it's all fine and well if you're thinking you want to see them there. But I guess I'd like to see my Jesus, who has made it possible that tonight I can live in the life of victory. I can live in life of hope. I can look forward to leaving this world behind and going to something that is so much more precious. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. As we think of this time, he says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and his knees shake. How many of us are prepared watching for this? I'd like to ask us tonight, how many of us, as we wake up in the morning and go throughout the day, and this is something as we get older, we probably think of more, but you know, today may be the final day. So when I think of that, brothers and sisters, it puts a tremendous burden on me. Have I done what I should? Lord Jesus Christ. Personally, I feel I have a debt that I can never pay. But by the grace of God, I want to do all I can for the work of the kingdom of God while I'm able. And it may not be much. Go ahead and be great. But just if the Lord comes to me, what about your neighbor? What about your friend? What about your child? Are we ready? Can we help them along life's pathway? Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But in closing, Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate. I'm not going to ask you an invitation, formal invitation here. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. But what excites me about the Christian life, one of the things I think is going to come to him in that first breath of the best of it. I'm waiting for that. And I trust you are too. While we may never worship together here, then, that's okay. So I want to worship together up there.